Hi, and welcome to the Salvation Army Southwest podcast. You'll find engaging messages here, so please go ahead and listen and check out some of our other messages and enjoy what you hear. You can always follow us online on our Facebook page or go to our website to find out more information. Thank you for listening.
Dear Heavenly Father, we can never say thank you enough for the sacrifice you've made to reconcile with us. Thank you for taking our sin and shame and giving us grace and freedom. We just want to say we love you today. Please speak to us in a personal way. Let us leave this place closer to you than when we walked in. Amen. My sermon today is titled, What's in Your Cup? So what is in your cup? Is it usually tea? It's empty. Your cup is empty? Well, that's a bit rough. Oh, it's coffee. Are you like a white with one, black, has to be in a teacup? Do you have special herbal tea? Or will you only drink it out of your favourite mug? Or more a coffee person? When you make yourself a cup, how full do you fill it? Are you a responsible pourer and you fill it just high enough so you've still got plenty of room to like walk to your chair? Or do you fill it so high that you start walking and you realise you can't walk anymore, you've got to take a sip so you don't leave a trail behind you? I accidentally almost always fill my cup right to the top. I often can't walk until I've taken a mouthful. Last week I filled it so high I couldn't even move the cup, I had to drink it off the counter. Yeah, every time, you'd think I would have learnt by now, but no. Have you heard the coffee cup analogy? The idea is, if you are holding a cup and someone comes along and bumps you, they make you spill your coffee everywhere. So why did you spill the coffee? If you answered, because someone bumped into me, that would be the wrong answer. You spilled the coffee because there was coffee in your cup. Had there been tea in your cup, you would have spilled the tea. Whatever is inside the cup is what will spill out. Therefore, when life comes along and shakes you, which it will, whatever is inside you will come out. It's easy to fake it until you get rattled. So I want you to ask yourselves, what is in your cup? What do you put in your cup? When life gets tough, what spills out? Is it joy, gratefulness, peace and humility? Or is it anger, bitterness, harsh words and reactions? I think it is also important to remember that when the coffee spills out, the coffee might not just burn you, it can burn anyone that it lands on. And you have an unspoken social responsibility to make sure that your cup isn't full of something that can burn others. Since having a baby, I have drunk a lot more coffee than I used to. However, a lot of it practically ends up iced coffee or gets reheated like multiple times. I learned that even a cup that had been cooling for 15 minutes is still hot enough to scald a baby. So it usually goes that I'll make myself a drink, the baby will start crying, so I have to leave it on the bench, tend to the baby, and by the time I come back, my tea is cold. So while it's in the cup, it's relatively safe. You get in trouble if it comes out of the cup. Matthew 15, 10 to 11. Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen and understand. What goes into someone's mouth does not defile them, but what comes out of their mouth, that is what defiles them." Have you heard the McDonald's ads recently that talk about a drain-a-chino? The ad's premise is that instead of drinking a bad coffee, you would pour it down the drain. So do we spend more time worrying about what we are putting in our mouths than what is coming out? I saw a really cute drawing and it had two adults on either side of the picture and they were speaking flowers over their child. And then those flowers were coming out of the child's mouth. How do you speak to children? Mine is not yet 6 months old, so he gets praised for the weirdest things. I'll tell him, good job, when he burps, when he's holding his head up straight. When he rolls over, he'll get a cheer because he's still kind of learning to do that. Have you noticed that the tone you use when you speak to babies is completely different than when you're talking to adults? When is the last time you said to an adult, look at you sitting, you're doing such a good job? Or look at you doing the taxes or the dishes. I've heard it said that the way you talk to your child becomes their inner voice. If you tell them they can do it, they believe you. If you're always telling them they can't or they're not good enough, that's what they'll believe. Now, when we're little, we don't have the skills to be able to pick and choose which voices we listen to. Those closest to us will be the loudest and therefore truest. However, once we get mature, we get exposed to more voices. More and more voices telling us who we are, what we should do, what we should be. And we need to learn to listen to which voices we need to learn which voices are beneficial and which we need to ignore. Which are the truth and which are lies. John 10, 1-5 says, let me set this before you as plainly as I can. If a person climbs over or through the fence of a sheep pen instead of going through the gate, you know he's up to no good. A sheep rustler. The shepherd walks right up to the gate. The gatekeeper opens the gate to him, and the sheep recognize his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he gets them all out, he leads them and they follow them because they are familiar with his voice. They won't follow a stranger's voice, but will scatter because they aren't used to the sound of it. Do you know his voice? It's so hard nowadays. There are so many voices clamoring for attention. I spend too long watching YouTube. I don't do TikTok, but YouTube does the equivalent, which is like short videos. I think they're like under a minute, and it's amazing how long you can sit there without realizing. I think to myself, oh, the baby's asleep. I'll finish this cup of tea. I'll just sit for a minute and then I'll go off and do like the dishes or whatever chore is waiting. But by the time the baby starts crying, you're still scrolling and you think, oops, where did that time go? I've realized that I have to be careful what I listen to. Since the YouTube algorithm gives you more of what you watch, I ended up going down a rabbit hole of people doing skits complaining about stuff that had happened in their life. They were just short clips and they were pretty funny. But the more I watched, the more YouTube suggested. And after a few days of this, I heard myself talking and I thought, I complain a lot. Do I have anything positive to say? Matthew 12, 33-37 says, if you grow a healthy tree, you'll pick healthy fruit. If you grow a diseased tree, you'll pick worm-eaten fruit. The fruit tells you about the tree. You have minds like a snake pit. How do you suppose what you say is worth anything when you are so foul-minded? It's your heart, not the dictionary, that gives meaning to your words. A good person produces good deeds and words season after season. An evil person is a blight on the orchard. Let me tell you something. Every one of these careless words is going to come back to haunt you. There will be a time of reckoning. Words are powerful. Take them seriously. Words can be your salvation. Words can also be your damnation. Are you careful with what comes out of your mouth? Or are you constantly wishing you didn't say something? My mouth will quite often run faster than my brain. And I'll think back on a conversation and wish I hadn't said something. Most of the time it's just because I said something embarrassing, but sometimes you say stuff and you think, I really shouldn't have said that. We become like the people we spend the most time with. I've heard a cute story about a grandkid that stayed over with their grandparents, and when they got home, they started making noises every time they started to get up. You know, the sorts of noises you make when you reach a certain age. And I'm sure you've heard about a toddler that started saying a bad word because they heard someone say it around them. You have to be careful how you act around them because they will absorb everything. And the same is true with adults. If you hear something enough, you unconsciously absorb it. We are in a time where almost anyone can have a platform. There are so many YouTube channels, blogs, podcasts, and so many of them talk as if they are experts on their topic. And we also live in a time where there can be a lack of fact-checking. When was the last time you saw something on your feed and you thought, I wonder if that is true? Have you ever shared information that you didn't check that turned out to be false? 2 Timothy 4:3-4, a time will come when people will not listen to accurate teachings. Instead, they will follow their own desires and surround themselves with teachers who tell them what they want to hear. I watched a personal trainer giving a warning about a fitness influencer on YouTube. She'd posted this video about 10 foods that were absolutely rubbish and you shouldn't eat them. He warned to be careful what you believe, because this girl's only qualification was that she had a healthy-ish lifestyle. But when you watch her video, she declares these foods to be rubbish with such conviction that you think, maybe they are bad for me. And most of the foods she was declaring rubbish were fine foods. One of them was muesli. So we need to be careful of confirmation bias, the tendency to interpret new information as confirmation of one's existing beliefs or theories, i.e. you watch her video thinking carbs are bad, they're going to make you fat, and she says muesli is a rubbish food. So you say to yourself, see, I knew carbs were bad. And then you tell everyone they shouldn't be eating muesli. Confirmation bias is like Velcro for things you already believe and Teflon for things you don't. This extends to sermons or biblical teachings. We need to listen critically and not just believe it because it comes from a stage. We need to filter it through the Holy Spirit before you believe it or apply it. 1 John 4:1. Dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. You must test them to see if the Spirit they have comes from God. For there are many false prophets in the world. When you are young, you tend to believe everything you hear. But I'd hope as you get older that you become to be able to discern what is helpful and what is harmful, what is truth and what is a lie. Ephesians 4:14-15. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. Philippians 4:8-9. Summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse. Put into practice what you've learned from me, what you heard and saw and realized. Do that, and God, who makes everything work together, will work you into his most excellent harmonies. What we listen to and hear will fill our cup, so we need to be careful what goes in. Because as the saying goes, what goes in must come out. We need to be careful of what comes out. Be careful of what we say. James 3:3-12. A bit in the mouth of a horse controls the whole horse. A small rudder on a huge ship in the hands of a skilled captain sets a course in the face of the strongest winds. A word out of your mouth may seem of no account, but it can accomplish nearly anything or destroy it. It only takes a spark, remember, to set off a forest fire. A careless or wrongly placed word out of your mouth can do that. By our speech, we can ruin the world, turn harmony to chaos, throw mud on a reputation, and send the whole world up in smoke, and go up in smoke with it. Smoke right from the pit of hell. This is scary. You can tame a tiger, but you can't tame a tongue. It's never been done. The tongue runs wild, a wanton killer. With our tongues we bless God our Father. With the same tongues we curse the very men and women made in his image. Curses and blessings out of the same mouth. My friends, this can't go on. A spring doesn't gush fresh water one day and brackish the next, does it? Apple trees don't bear strawberries. Raspberry bushes don't bear apples. You're not going to dip into a polluted mud hole and get a cup of clear, cool water, are you? So if something bumps you today, what is going to come out of you? Ephesians 4:29-32. Watch the way you talk. Let nothing foul or dirty come out of your mouth. Say only what helps, each word a gift. Don't grieve God. Don't break his heart. His Holy Spirit moving and breathing in you is the most intimate part of your life, making you fit for himself. Don't take such a gift for granted. Let us make a clean break with all cutting, backbiting, profane talk. Be gentle with one another, sensitive. Forgive one another as quickly and thoroughly as God in Christ forgave you. I can't speak for you, but I know my tongue gets me in trouble, and I need Jesus to help keep me from saying harmful things and to forgive me when I do. So as we sing this next song, I'd like you to have a think about how well you control your tongue and if you need to make a change. Bring your tongue to Jesus and ask for a new one. Proverbs 18:21 says, words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. So as we sing this next song, Lord, I need you, I hope you can contemplate what kind of tongue you have.